Hi there, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you about Jillian on Love Plus, your way to get even more Jillian on Love each week by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Patreon. You can access exclusive bonus episodes with extras including answers to your most burning questions, advice on all things dating and relationships, and much more. Check out the link in the episode description for more information. Hi there, this is Jillian on Love, and I'm on a mission to teach people how to revolutionize their romantic relationships by transforming the relationship they have with themselves. So whether you are in a relationship, you're single, or heartbroken, I've got you covered. I'm Jillian Turecki, certified relationship coach and teacher with over 20 years experience helping people transform their relationship with themselves. Through their bodies, breaths, and minds, I have coached and taught thousands of people to become better versions of themselves and change the way they show up for and within their love lives. In today's episode, I'm going to be giving you the best dating and relationship advice you'll ever get. And I know that's a pretty bold statement, and obviously I have a lot of episodes on the show with a lot of advice, but this is definitely going to be some of the best. And what makes it the best is because it's too nuanced for anyone to address on social media. And it's definitely too nuanced for anyone who hasn't had a lot of experience working with people to give. And, you know, it's not like every expert has a podcast. So this, I am certain and very confident, is going to be some of the most important advice you ever get. So here I go. The first piece of advice I'm going to give you, it's related to dating, but honestly, all the advice that I give here today, you will be able to apply on some level to whatever relationship journey you're on. And the first is the masks that we wear when we start dating someone. Now, we are all on our best behavior when we like someone and we're starting to date them. I'm going to be butchering this quote, but I believe it was Chris Rock who said, you know, we're not ourselves when we're dating, we are the ambassadors to ourselves, something along those lines. And it's very true. We really are showing up as our best selves. Some people are showing up as a lie, but I'll get to that in a moment. The reality is that we're on our best behavior. And the paradox is that 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years into a relationship, when a relationship starts to struggle, it really always boils down to that two people are not doing at all what they did in the beginning of a relationship. They're not showing up the same way. They're not giving the same way. They don't have the same flexibility. They don't have the same communication. So in the beginning, one could argue that we really are like truly the best version of ourselves. But the truth is, in order for someone to really know us and for us to know them, we need to be able to see each other when we're not our best selves, when stress is high, and how we deal with it. In other words, we have to know a person's character before we get too attached. What I mean by too attached means you commit to them, you're telling everyone and yourself that you love them, because oftentimes we get so seduced by feeling, right? Because that's really what motivates us to even want to fall in love, is to feel love. It's to feel the intoxicating experience of very magnified positive emotion. But love isn't enough. I mean, it's a very important criteria for a relationship, but it's not enough. We need to go beyond our feelings, and we have to go into the realm of practicality, of boundaries, of compatibility and of character. A person's character is deep within them. Character is what we discover and what we uncover and what we reveal to another beyond the mask. Now, not everyone is wearing this thick mask in the beginning. I mean, one could argue, philosophically speaking, that we're all wearing this mask, and that is, this is my best self, right? This is like the part of me that isn't stressed. You know, I'm not bringing my work stress. I'm not bringing my family stress. I'm not bringing my complaints. I'm not bringing like my dirty sweatpants. Like, I'm not bringing any of that. I'm just bringing my best. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? In other words, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Are you feeling like you don't have enough boundaries? Are you feeling like there's just less social activity in the winter? It can be really easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. This has kind of been a game changer for me. It's important to know what's the right amount of socializing for you. And I know that that changes. I think it changes seasonally. I think it changes depending on where we are in our life and what's going on in our lives. But it's also important to know, like, how do we recharge? Do we charge up when we are socializing? How much time do we need in between socializing to recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, but actually adds more meaning to your life, which is what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to give us energy, but we have to be able to manage it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. First of all, it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge, which is amazing. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/onlove today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/onlove. And then there are some masks that are covering up a person's inauthenticity. They're covering up their deeply, deeply dysfunctional traits, right? And that would be more in line with a sociopath, a narcissist, a highly quote-unquote toxic person who is appearing to be everything that most people would want in another person. But it's all a game and it's all a lie. And so obviously, or not so obvious, I should say, there's a spectrum when it comes to the mask. But either way, we don't really know a person until we know something about their character. This was something very new for me when I started exploring the realm of deeply into the realm of relationships over 10 years ago. And that is, yes, being a good person, being somewhat self-aware, being nice to people. These were all things that were always on my radar. Like, how do you treat the waiter? How do you treat the cab driver? How do you treat the stranger on the street? These are all things that are a part of a person's character. But literally the thousands of people I've worked with, there are many who don't really take this under consideration. Instead, they let their emotions get the best of them. And they think, you know, I feel great when I'm with them and they seem great. So that's it. You know, I've only known them 2 weeks. I've only known them 2 months. I've only known them 3 months and I've already decided they're it. And it's not that I want to create a bunch of hypervigilant, fearful, skeptical people. But you must know that I've just worked with a lot of people who get hurt. You know, there's a lot of us who are trying to navigate the world of dating without getting hurt. And it's not that you have to go in with a whole bunch of hypervigilance. You just have to say to yourself, I'm not committing to this person until we know each other's character and we're okay with it. I'm not committing to this person until I know that we can deal with conflict together. I'm not moving in with this person until I know that we are both all in and working towards a common goal, the common goal being how can we have the best relationship that we possibly can. So we all have to decide like what our standard is with all that. You can say, I'm not sleeping with someone until I actually know their character. Like you can make that decision. And for many of you, that might be the wisest choice you can make. So there's a paradox here. It takes time to know a person's character. That said, there are people who can give early warning signs of low character. So let me first define what low character is, and then I'll define what strong character is, and then where we all kind of fall in the spectrum. So low character is when a person thinks and behaves and acts as though their needs are more important than yours. They're more important than love, and they're more important than even their own values. And I think that everyone could use a little humble pie, and we can admit when there have been times where we have acted or said something or did something that was out of character. And when we say out of character, it's really beneath our character, meaning not who we want to be, not in alignment with how we identify, right? If you identify as being a self-aware person, if you identify as being an inherently good person, and then maybe you do something that breaks one of those rules of yours, like you're mean to someone unnecessarily, or you are overly focused on yourself and not considering the needs of someone important to you. I think we can all admit that we've done that before. And we may have, you know, really good excuses. We could say, you know, I was stressed. We could say it was trauma. We could say it was fear. We could say, you know, and this is really what's for most people, it was mindlessness. I didn't realize I was doing that. I was acting unconsciously rather than with mindfulness. And anyone who can say, I've never done that, is a liar. So we've all had low character moments, but a person with low character is consistently doing these things. They're almost always making their needs more important than yours. They're making their needs more important than the love you share. Right? Because sometimes we have to put our immediate needs aside for the needs of the relationship that we're in. It's like sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what does our relationship need right now? Might be temporarily in conflict with my own personal need right now to maybe take a nap. With my own personal need right now to really want to go for a run, with my own personal need right now to, I'm just not in the mood to talk about it. Sometimes we have to put those immediate preferences of ours aside in service of love. And a person with really low character, and that could fall in the narcissist spectrum of true narcissistic personality disorder versus just someone who is highly selfish, someone who is consistently behaving with low character, their needs in the moment are always more important than yours. And they're always more important than the relationship. People with low character are only serving themselves, and they don't seem to have a strong value compass, which you might say is similar to a moral compass. They don't seem to have a value system a code by which they live by. They don't seem to have a standard for themselves of how they want to behave, not how they want to be perceived by you and by the world, not how they want to manipulate others to see them, but really how they themselves want to step up. So we all have had low character moments. We have all had selfish moments. We have all had mindless moments. What differentiates a person with stronger character versus low character is the awareness. Like, oh, that was not my best moment. Let me course correct. Let me apologize. Let me do it differently next time. Let me get in touch with a little healthy regret and shame about what I just did because that truly was not right. That's really low character. People with low character, they don't like your boundaries. They're not willing to listen to your boundaries. They, again, are self-serving. They are not willing to put their stuff aside for a conversation. Low character can really be generalized or distilled into, I am a selfish person. Not sometimes, not when I'm just really stressed, but consistently. And people with strong character, their actions match their words. Look, at least most of the time, because there will be times where we do something different than what we said we were going to do. Because life gets in the way. And that doesn't mean that we don't have integrity. That means that we're human. But overall, our actions match our words. We are willing to do the necessary self-examination to show up better, to have stronger character, to relate better, to love better, to receive better. Also, there's a kindness there. People with strong character are respectful of other people's boundaries. That doesn't mean that someone with strong character, like I said, is not sometimes going to act out unconsciously. But generally speaking, people with strong character, when it's pointed out to them, they listen. There's an awareness there, like, wow, I was acting mindlessly. Strong character doesn't mean perfection. But it does mean someone who has a particularly strong code of conduct, and they have an invested interest in trying to deepen their connection with the people they love and to try to do what is in their mind the right thing. Now, that gets a little bit sticky because sometimes we've got certain rules about what's right, what's wrong. But overall, it's important for them to care deeply about others, to care deeply about the integrity of their word. And they're not consistently violating their own values for self-service. And so there is a little bit, when it comes to strong character, a sense of being able to control oneself. Right? They're not just constantly at the whim of a simple desire. So they are really, for the most part, adhering to a moral code and a value system. The people with strong character are the people in your life who you've known who you can just trust. And so trustworthiness is a very big part of a person's character. So when it comes to character, everything that I teach is about really the relationship with self. And I think that what is a reflection of a person's character is their willingness to look in the mirror and to ask themselves, how can I strengthen my character? And that's a very high character thing. You know, there's a lot of talk on the internet, what makes a high value man, a high value woman, a high value person. This is essentially what it is all about. So people will usually within the first 6 months, and sometimes very early on will show moments of low character. And you have to really pay attention to that. And when something like that happens and you bring it up, how they respond to that is everything. So some of the best dating advice I could ever give and have given for many, many years is you must understand this person's character and you must know how the two of you are able to navigate conflict together. So the next thing, it's important that, and I'm going to apply this to all relationships. Yes, it's very specific to romantic relationships, but you can apply this to sibling relationship, to parental relationship, to a relationship with a child, to your friendships. It's really important to understand women and to understand men. And I posted something recently in my stories that went quote unquote viral about a 39-year-old man who wrote into me saying, you know, I'm really struggling in relationships. I date women. And my sister gave me the feedback that I don't really understand women. Now, I'm sure there's more nuance here to what is going on with this person and their relationships. But there's a few things that we all need to understand about ourselves and about the men and the women who we are in relationship with, whatever that capacity is. Overall, women value safety and connection above all else. And I'm not saying that men don't value safety and connection. I'm just saying above all else, when it comes to a woman's value system, she is going to value safety and connection above all else. This episode is sponsored by Thrive Cosmetics. I am not a big makeup wearer, but when I do, I want it to look really like clean and fresh, and I'm very committed to using cosmetics that are non-toxic. And Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look, but it also has clean ingredients. Their foolproof products make it easy for any skill level to apply, because I certainly don't have skill when it comes to applying it, that's for sure. The thing about Thrive Cosmetics is that it has uncompromising standards and it also supports communities. So it's kind of amazing. Their mascara is completely ridiculously good. All my friends use it. And they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free and have zero toxins in it. So I love the mascara, but I also love the Brilliant Eye Brightener. So I use it as a highlighter. Sometimes I kind of use it as an eyeshadow, but I just love it. And you can apply a light shade. I really like the shade Stella to the inner corner of your eyes to give you a glow and open your eyes. It's kind of amazing. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics. It's luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/Jillian. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/Jillian for 10% off your first order. So one thing to understand is that as women, there's a couple of things. One is, if you're not a woman, then you will never understand what it's like to walk down an empty street, even if it's in a very, very safe neighborhood alone. We are always looking behind our shoulders. It is very rare that a day goes by where a woman in some capacity doesn't have to be mindful and aware of her physical safety. And that is something that most men can't understand. And I have been in relationships and I've known many women in relationships where their partner is getting almost annoyed at them for feeling unsafe. You know, like, what's the big deal? It's you know, it's a safe neighborhood. You'll never know what it's like. And so we need that. We also have been, as women, conditioned to believe that we are weaker, that we are the weaker gender. Whereas physically, because of the absence, or not the total absence, because women have testosterone too, but much less testosterone, we don't have the same physical physiques as men. So we are overall physically not as strong as men. But that's also, we've been conditioned for years and years and years, centuries, to believe that that can also be a weakness of mind, a weakness of character, a lack of resilience. And it is so important, I believe, that as much as we women crave safety, and we are always looking for a partner whose actions match their words because of maybe feeling betrayed in the past, maybe they witnessed their father being physically abusive to their mom, maybe they grew up in an environment, in a generation where their mothers were very highly dependent on their fathers for everything, for emotional safety, for financial safety, for stability, right? So there's a lot of conditioning here that's just not going to be like undone overnight. And if you love a woman, whether that is, again, romantic or not, you need to understand that this is part of the fabric of her being. I will get a little bit more into that in just a moment. And that also we are very much wired for connection. That is just what many women want. You can say that's really what the feminine wants, is connection. Now, is that to say that, you know, men don't want connection, other people don't want connection? No, absolutely not. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, that we feel most women need meaningful conversation in order to feel connected to our partner. Meaningful conversation where we can share our emotions, where we can share our feelings, where we can share about our day, where we can share our inner world. And when that is met with an openness to listen and participate and connect with us in that way, we feel safe. And so I'm not going to distill it like, okay, just have meaningful conversation with the woman you love and then all will be fine. But I will say that if you're unwilling to engage in meaningful conversation, all will probably not be fine. Like that is really, and again, I'm not saying that's not important to many people, but it's one of the things that I've been working with many couples for many years. It's one of the things that I've seen people argue about the most without realizing that's what they're arguing about. It's a meaningful conversation. And what makes a conversation meaningful to many women is I can express myself. We can talk about some feelings. I can talk about my feelings and you're not going to shut down. I can talk about some emotions and you're not going to yawn or try to fix. It's not the only way that people want to connect, but it's a very powerful way that women connect. That's how we connect with other women. That's how we want to connect with the men in our lives. And it's important. And so when you're able to understand that and engage in more meaningful conversation to her, you're meeting a lot of her needs all at once. She's feeling loved. She's feeling connected. She's feeling safe. She's feeling important. She's feeling like she's growing with you. It's like all the needs are kind of like really met in that moment of meaningful conversation. Because so many women have been conditioned to hide what it is that they really feel, to feel like, you know, oh, they don't really want to talk about it, or my emotions are too much, or my feelings are too much. And so it's a really amazing thing when you, as her partner, as her spouse, as her sibling, as her parent, as her friend, that you are able to kind of engage in that conversation with her. And even if it's not about you sharing your feelings necessarily, it's really listening. It's really listening. It's asking questions. It's getting curious about their vulnerability. It's wanting to hear more. And then the cherry on top is you being willing to get a little vulnerable too. I don't know what to tell you. It's just like the very fulfilling experience for most women to experience meaningful conversation. And again, I am generalizing. So the most common complaint that I have gotten from the men who I've worked with over the last 20 years, when I worked with them in the capacity of yoga and in coaching and worked with their families and worked with their partners and spouses, their most common complaint is that I don't feel important and needed. I don't feel appreciated. And when I have had longer conversations with these men, what has come up is them feeling somewhat emasculated, them feeling like, you'd be surprised to know, maybe some of you listening to this are not surprised at all, but maybe many of you are, how often the men in your life, and how easily, I should say, they can feel like a failure. You know, depending on generation, that they're not providing for you in the way that they should be, should I put in giant quotation marks, that they're not there for you the way they should be. They're not dependable the way that they should be. They're not strong enough the way that they should be. This episode is sponsored by Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth is just like what it says, so incredibly cozy. The sheets are very luxurious and soft and just feel amazing. And all products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. And incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can really, truly enhance the sleep quality and your overall wellness. Because the sheets that we sleep in and the bedding that we sleep in really does impact how well we sleep. It's just a reality. When it comes to like gifts for Mother's Day, for example, a recent survey found that 7 in 10 parents get an average of 3 hours of sleep a night in their baby's first year. Wow. Parents really do deserve quality sleep. And if you're worried about commitment, Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of its products, which is so important, very important to me. Enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. They're built to last through hard days and the longest of nights of life and motherhood and parenthood. Head over to CozyEarth.com and use promo code JOL for an exclusive 35% off. That's CozyEarth.com using promo code JOL for an exclusive 35% off. It really is soft as a mother's touch. Cozy Earth wishes you and yours a happy Mother's Day.
We can, as people who are in relationship with men, unconsciously feed into this by complaining a lot, by not communicating our needs, by only focusing on what they're doing wrong, by making them feel like they are an afterthought, that they're not needed in some way, that they are not significant in some way, that they're not contributing to the relationship. And look, people are so hard on themselves. We are so hard on themselves. If there's one thing, the greatest lesson that I have learned, and I've learned so many as a result of the work that I do, but probably in the top two or three is we are so hard on ourselves because we get possessed by certain beliefs. For men, again, depending on generation, it's the pressure to provide. I don't know the stat, but I am doing some research on the stat because it's quite high, because I've just started going down this wormhole, which is the amount of men over the years, and I really want to distill this between like 1980 and today, the amount of men who taken their own lives because they felt like failures, because they weren't able to fully, in their mind, in their belief system, in their blueprint, they were not able to provide at the level that their father taught them to provide, or at the level that society has told them that they must provide. Whether that's providing financial stability, whether that's providing, you know, good schooling for their kids. Again, this is somewhat generational. It's changing a little bit, that they haven't actually been able to, the amount of men who've taken their lives because they haven't achieved. In today's day and age, I see achievement being, especially in Western culture and particularly in American culture, it is being embraced and really highly valued by everyone. But historically, men have been so attached to achievement because men historically have been more judged by society by what he does for a living. And women have been more judged by society by how she looks and her relationship status. So let me say that again. Historically, men have been more judged by society by how much he has achieved. And historically, women have been more judged by society by how she looks and her relationship status. So there have been men, thousands upon thousands of men who have taken their own lives because they have not achieved at the level that they believed they were supposed to. And that is what it means to be possessed by beliefs. When we get possessed by beliefs that are conditioned in us a lot by society, some of it family, and we don't believe that we are living up to the standard that has been imposed on us by society and by family, sometimes those beliefs are so strong that when we don't live up to it, we feel like such a failure. That's when certain people take their own freaking lives, or they develop huge eating disorders, or they develop addictive patterns and become addicts. And so we are all trying to be enough. And I know that in order to be a person who is conscious and who has strong character inside of a relationship is to understand and to be aware of how we may be unconsciously feeding into each other's fears. Women have such, in general, in this society, not all societies, in Western society in particular, women, we think we need to be perfect in body, mind, and spirit. We have to have the perfect body for, it's like, not too small, not too big, you know, depending on, lots of things weigh into this, but it's like, what's the perfect weight? What's the perfect butt size? What's the perfect breast size, stomach, all of that. Lips, eyes. We have this pressure nowadays that it's not just enough to be a great mom or to be a great partner, but we have to be great at work too. We have to be superwoman. We have to be independent, but also feminine. And so there's so much pressure. And then men are like, I have to be vulnerable, but I also have to be strong for you. So it can get incredibly overwhelming and incredibly confusing. And if we can have more compassion and empathy for these very real societal conditioning hypnosis that we're in, then, you know, our relationships will actually feel a lot more connected and they will be better. And so knowing that, you know, safety, connection, meaningful conversations, and the pressure to be perfect in body, mind, and spirit is a lot of what most women are really, what's going on in her psyche, knowing that men being judged by how much they achieve, that they have a really strong desire to feel important and needed. They can be also very hard on themselves. If they're not feeling that way, they can easily feel like a failure. Sometimes they're unwillingness or inability to have that conversation with you might be because of coming from shame. Understanding that, how does that change the way that you think about yourself or think about the people in your life? And these are the really important conversations I think most of us have to be having more. But what I will say is this: I believe that freedom is the most important value that anyone can value in a relationship. Now, that is not about freedom to like be with other people or anything like that. It is the freedom to be yourself in a relationship. Now, how does this apply to dating? There are many people, and I will say I've seen this more in women than I've seen in men, but nonetheless, there are many people who would rather be in a relationship for the sake of being in a relationship than to be alone and wait for the right person. So in other words, there are people, many, many people, and I think that I was one of these people at one point in my life, where their hunger for love is stronger than their self-love, where their hunger for love is so overwhelming. They're so thirsty to be in a relationship that they will compromise their values. They will compromise their character and they will betray themselves in some way, either by silencing their voice, either by trying to be perfect, either by wearing a mask rather than being their true selves, just to be in a relationship. And what I think is so important is that it's important to value freedom enough that you would rather be free of a relationship than to be in a relationship where you are forced to compromise who you are. Freedom is very important in a relationship, like I said, because it is the freedom to really show up as you are, to not be with someone who can't handle you on your best day. It is more important to value freedom than it is to value a relationship, like I said, just for the sake of being in a relationship. Because the greatest lie, one of the biggest lies, is that being in a relationship gives you more stability and security. Some relationships will give you more stability and security, but just being in a relationship doesn't guarantee it. If you're in a relationship with someone who abuses you, there's no security or stability there. If you're in a relationship with someone where you feel like you have to totally compromise yourself in any way, even if it's not abuse, there's no freedom there and there's no stability there and there's no security there. The greatest stability that we can find is a stability within ourselves. And that's when we would rather be single and alone than be in a relationship that forces us to compromise ourselves. So the next thing that I am going to mention is probably one of the best advice I can give. Everybody has to be all in. Everybody has to be all in to make a relationship work. You cannot make a relationship work by yourself. You can't build a relationship with someone who is not willing to talk about the future with you. You can't build a relationship with someone who's not willing to have meaningful conversations with you. You can't build a relationship with someone who is not all in. You can't sustain or build or save a relationship where one person has one foot in and one foot out. Now, sometimes people feel so helpless in their relationship. They feel so helpless to make it better. They're so stuck in their story about the relationship. And they literally feel like, I've tried everything. I don't know what else to do to make this work. And I've seen this many times. This is when couples come to see me and they have lost hope. And it can get really bad between a couple. It's like trying to unscramble an egg. You know, sometimes things get really complicated. And it's not that they're not all in because they don't love the person. They're not all in because they feel powerless to create change. And so I want to share that with you just to give you some understanding that if you're in a relationship and you're feeling like the person is not all in, I know every circumstance has its nuance, but sometimes it's because they just feel powerless. Nonetheless, everyone has to be all in to make it work. And sometimes what happens is that when you put 2 feet into your relationship, what you do discover is that it doesn't work. But you're never going to really know the truth of whether it works or whether it doesn't work until you put both feet in. And you cannot do it alone. Camaraderie, teamwork, the willingness of each individual person to work on the stuff in themselves that is interfering with the vitality of the relationship is absolutely necessary. The willingness to do things differently, the willingness to change where there needs to be change, the willingness to practice new skills where there needs to be practicing of new skills. You can't do it alone. Everybody has to be all in. Okay, so that is it for this week's Jillian on Love. This is some of the best dating and relationship advice I think you'll ever get. It's super nuanced. Character, understanding the pressure that all of us as human beings are under, particularly societal pressure, and how that can help us meet each other's needs better. What it is that we value the most, redefining freedom as a very important relationship skill and value. And a little something that I want to say about that. What would change in your life if instead of only valuing stability and certainty when it comes to being in a relationship, what would change in your life if, and I certainly don't want you to not value safety, especially for the women out there who maybe are putting like safety at number one. What would change in your life if the freedom to be who you are, the joy of freedom versus being in a relationship just for the sake of being in a relationship because of the pressure society has put you on, or the misguided belief that someone who's actually not that nice to you is actually going to protect you? How would your life change if freedom and authenticity was as high of a value to you as safety? Because a big part of our value system, a big part of understanding our value system, is learning how to be more balanced in our values. So you can really value safety, you can really value connection and all these things, but at what expense? And so what has to shift inside of you to create more balance? Anyway, that's it for this week's episode of Jillian on Love. I know this is a lot and I am expecting to hear from you, so please do not hesitate to reach out to me at hello@jillianonlove.com. Let me know what you thought about this. Let me know how it's impacted your dating. Let me know how it's impacted your relationships. And if you know of anyone who could, literally anyone who could benefit from this episode, please share. You just really never know whose life you could be changing, and changing very much for the better. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Thank you.
Jillian on Love is a Q Code production. Executive produced by David Henning and Steve Wilson. Produced by Shin Yin Hu. Editing and music by Will Tendy.
Hi, just checking in. And seeing if you might want to step away from the noise of the world for just a moment and connect back to you. If so, join me on my podcast, Letting It Settle with Michael Galyon, where we'll explore mindfulness, self-love, and personal growth as I share practical insights and tools to hopefully help inspire you to start to take charge of your mental and emotional well-being. Search for Letting It Settle with Michael Galyon on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening now.
I'm Carlos King, one of the most sought-after executive producers in reality television. I am thrilled to announce Reality with the King, where we'll discuss all things reality TV. I have interviewed everyone from NeNe Leakes, Teresa Giudice, and Kenya Moore. Each episode, we will rehash shocking portrayals, honey. Yes! Hilarious shade! And all the drama. Reality with the King podcast is available wherever you get your podcast.